Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East Seti Ranch. I've got all kinds of news flashes and things to announce, but I'm going to skip them all just because I have an awesome guest tonight, Lisa Renee. And a lot of people know her. For those who don't, you can go to energeticsynthesis.com and read all about it. We have so many things to cover, and without wasting any time, we're going to welcome Lisa on the show. Lisa, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, James. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I haven't seen you since July. There's been so much going on. It feels like it's been, you know, years. It's only been a few months, but we're living lifetimes in a week these days.
It does. It feels like that was a couple lifetimes ago, it seems like.
It really does.
Yeah, things are changing. Everybody's changing so fast. It's hard to keep up with everything. There's so many things I'd like to cover on the show. I know we probably don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but everybody is asking about, you know, the Norway lights, the spiral there. And,
yes.
You know, I've done quite a bit of research on the inner level and the outer level as well. And I'm just not buying the official story. How about you?
Well, you know, I find it really fascinating that you and I are reconnecting over the last, July 4th, because for me personally, all I can do is really offer my personal experience and truth with that phenomena, because I do know there's a lot of people publicly making comments about it. There's all kinds of different theories about what people think it is or isn't. And certainly I don't want to, you know, state this as, you know, because I really don't know in terms of all I can offer is my own experience with it. And so the fascinating part of the synchronicity of it is that my awareness with working on this part of the energy system of our planet, because I am a grid worker, I work with the architecture of the planetary consciousness fields, and as a part of those management structures, my teams and I were utilizing circuits for a turquoise ray hookup. Now, the Guardians call this the 13th gate circuit into the neutron window. And when I was asked to come to East Seti in July, I had no idea that I would be working with the 13th circuit, otherwise known as the turquoise field or turquoise ray of light, the aquamarine ray. And, you know, I think I had sent you and I had talked a few things about what we thought was happening with the East Seti Ranch, and the Guardians gave us a little bit of information about a specific frequency transmission that was coming in that July 4th weekend, but I had no idea it was the 13th circuit, otherwise known as the turquoise ray. So actually at your ranch, there were several different projects that were instituted within the planetary fields there, specifically between the circuits that connect into Mount Adams, which is basically at the foot of your ranch, into Mount Hood and into Mount Shasta. And so when I actually left and we completed our conference and the grid work at that particular area, the Guardians and many interdimensional beings, most of them from the Andromedan core, because that is where the 13th gate circuitry is extending from, is actually, from my understanding, our connection point of the circuit was into the center of the galactic core through our Sagittarian galaxy and into the Andromedan core. These hook up into two black hole cores, and a new frequency is expelled from the next universe, and the color of that carrier wave is aquamarine. So according to the Guardian races, this particular frequency ray, because again, yes, we know what turquoise is, we see that in our visible light spectrum, but according to them, this is a new quality of energetic spectrum in the palette of, let's say, rays and colors and energies that are being exposed to our particular planet and the holographic reality of that, you know, system here. We're accessing a whole new octave of energy. So what I experienced on December 9th was the physical, tangible manifestation of what I saw at your ranch in July in my own inner vision. So needless to say, I was ecstatic and thrilled because as a person who does remote viewing and works with consciousness fields in this way, many times it's very hard to determine at what level is something you're working with in the architecture of the blueprint going to become actually physically manifest in this reality. I mean, I never know that. If it's going to actually be manifested here, will we actually see it in this visible light spectrum with the third dimensional eyes? You know, because the point is there were photos, stills, and also video of this event, which to me is so exciting because this is a manifestation of something I see in terms of a stargate or a wormhole formation, but I've never seen it captured in this reality, you know, on a physical photo. So I'm really excited. That's my experience with it.
You know, I had pretty much the same experience. As soon as I looked at that, I said, that's a gate. That's a wormhole. And my next question is, I wonder why it's here and who came through it or who went back through it. I don't know which way it worked, but that was my first experience. And then I heard all the stuff out there. Everybody had an idea of everything from, you know, the standard media out there saying it's a Russian rocket. And
right.
What I found out too is that the Ministry of Defense for Russia said, no, it's not our rocket. It's a completely separate event. And what happened there is classified. They can't talk about it. So that
oh,
was their,
really?
Yeah, that was their first news flash on it. And they made it very clear, no, it's not a rocket. It was a separate, you know, a totally separate event. And,
wow.
And I thought that was interesting. And then later on, after pressure, you know, to bring this into something people can handle, you know, to keep it inside the box.
Exactly.
Oh, they go, oh, yeah, that was our rocket, you know, probably after a little cash changed hands and a few other things, but, you know, or somebody else put a little pressure on them. But, and then I heard another story, which is where they're saying, oh, that was HAARP, and it was Project Bluebeam, according
yeah.
to inside sources, you know, people's inside sources. And every time I hear somebody say inside sources, it's usually a channel for disinformation, and they
mm-hmm.
love to do this, and that's how they leak out the disinformation, and people go public with it, and they end up with egg on their face later, you know, like all the human abductions and human cattle mutilations and all this stuff, or human mutilations. They found out later that that was all disinformation released from a false source, you know, as they look down. So whenever I see people, you know, getting inside information, I just go, oh God, you know, here we go again, you know, so, you know, you know, they do have a HAARP installation behind those mountains and, you know, it is a possibility, but to me, I'm not buying that. You know, whenever I hear inside information and whenever I hear people going public who have done this in the past and have been dead wrong with their inside information, you know, I tend to say, wait a second, I'm not going to accept that one, although it is a very exotic excuse for what happened. I'm still sticking to, for my inner guidance and just gut feeling that that's a wormhole and something came
yes.
through it.
Yes, I agree, and that is my experience with it as well. And also, you know, again, not speaking from a completely scientific, educated, empirical way. I can only explain what the Guardians told me about the HAARP frequencies because, again, they have confirmed that is a psychotronic mind control technology. They have confirmed, in fact, for the very first time ever, if you remember, I think that this is a part of the email discussion you and I had. Before I understood that I was going up there to reroute and work with that circuitry and be sort of a handshake hub for that down here, they said that a part of what was going to be propagated into the masses as a part of fear and control was, again, all of us as a part of the human race have seed fears, and one of our seed fears is cataclysm. Mm-hmm. And the cataclysm fear is something cellularly that our bodies remember because we've blown this place up a few times and we've been involved in that kind of cataclysmic disaster. So the controllers know this, and they will use this as a means of controlling us because we get irrational in that fear without understanding what the source of that fear is really coming from deep in our bodies, because we remember the feeling of this. And so when I went up there to the East Eddy Ranch there, they said that in the next months that the controllers would be working with the cataclysmic program, otherwise known as the Armageddon programs, that would again attempt to bring fear through the fear of death or cataclysm on the eastern seaboards, that they were working from the Alaskan HAARP facility and sending out diagonal circuits that were coming out of Alaska all the way through the borders into Florida, and that this was actually attempting to destabilize both the western and eastern seaboard, and that also going up and stabilizing that mountain grid area was going to be a part of the environmental reharmonization work, because as you and I know, it's all about consciousness. As you mm-hmm. hold the consciousness of peace and allow your body to be a vessel of God consciousness, you can stabilize the grids and harmonize the environment. That is what the God consciousness does. So in being able to hold that, it's really important that we understand that we don't have to have a fear-based idea about what we think is going to happen or strategizing for that, which is, again, what the controllers want to kind of happen, you know, to get us caught up in that fear. Mm-hmm. So in coming up there and stabilizing those systems, that was a part of the environmental harmonization of the grid works on both the western and the eastern seaboard. Now, at that point, when they talked about the HAARP frequencies coming out of Alaska, they didn't give me this additional bit of information that they completed with me on December 9th. So again, the synchronicity is amazing. I have never had the Guardians describe the HAARP frequencies to me until I went to East Eddy Ranch, when they described the HAARP frequencies coming out of Alaska and hitting in the intersect point around the Mount Adams, and why Mount Adams was such a major power point and grid point for extraterrestrial activity right there. That this was a major intersection that went all the way diagonally across to the eastern seaboard. So that is a really important spot on our planet, actually, the land that you have over there. And so on December 9th, they completed it, and they said that HAARP did not create the Norway spiral. What it did was try to prevent it. What HAARP mm-hmm. does is it works with the diagonal grid system. So it's like understanding, first of all, that our holographic system, our the nature of reality, the blueprint of the consciousness fields that create the third dimensional projection that we perceive as physical matter, there is a matrix to this. So if you're thinking of a horizontal grid, a vertical grid, right at that intersection point, there is a series of white and black hole vortices that spin in counterclockwise and clockwise motion. And this is how our reality literally breathes between the in-breath and out-breath of source, or the particle and the antiparticle matter. Our reality is constantly turning on and turning off, turning on, turning off. Our brain is programmed to go into a linear sequence so that we perceive we're moving forward in time, but actually we're not. The reality is turning on and turning off, and we perceive ourselves as moving, even though that is really the illusion of our consciousness having an experience in a physical form, moving through time. Now, the diagonal grid that crosses in between these intersection points has the capacity to control the rotational spin of those white and black holes. So what it does is it controls the speed, therefore the vibration or the frequency that the matrix can conduct through those particular spin points, because it's the spin points that actually control the level of the rotation between electrons and protons, how neutron fields are actually created from that, and how new frequencies are actually generated based upon those relationships of the angular rotational spinning of these particular black hole and white hole vortices. Now, HAARP, according to the Guardians, can control the diagonal relationship to those spin points, and it will try, and that's how it can manifest the different frequency fences, the psychotronics. It's using scalar waves as carrier waves for certain information, and they use a diagonal grid relationship to the matrix to shift the frequency or the parameter of the frequency that we can actually perceive within that matrix. Now, I hope that makes sense, but according to them, on December 9th, the HEART facility is in Norway over there, and there was actually an interaction with the HEART facility, but they said that the HEART facility is not responsible for the creation of that phenomena, but it did interact with that phenomena. That's how they explained it. I hope that makes sense.
I was really hoping that wormhole just was a big blue beam going right to the facility and just short-circuited everything out, because, you know, they have done that in the past. There was a massive, massive antenna they're building in a South American country, and I heard it on Coast to Coast. I'm going to track this down. And they interviewed one of the scientists there, and he was just whining and crying because it was one of the biggest antennas that they were going to put together. And this massive blue beam came out of nowhere and hit their antenna and just left it in little pieces, entire rubble. And
wow.
He was really upset because they were all out of a job, and he was trying to, you know, cry out for more funding to build this thing again. And nobody knew what this was for. In a way, they're saying it was something to search the skies, but in reality, I do believe it was some kind of a weapon, a deep, you know, one of these huge, massive beam type weapons that they were going to utilize, you know, under the guise of some kind of a radio station or searching the heavens for life or something. I don't know what they were going to do with it, but I'm going to track that down and find out. But this did happen in the past, where a big blue beam came down from heaven and totally annihilated this massive project they were under.
I would love to see that. I've heard, you know, stories, but, you know, I have not actually seen any kind of evidence or pictures or anything about it, even though I have heard it. So,
yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, it's really hard to get any more information. The guy gave all the information. I am going to search the Coast to Coast, see if I can find out, you know. I know Art Bell was actually interviewing him. I'm going to send him a letter to see if I can get or an email to find out who that was and get that archive up. But I remember hearing very clearly the guy talking about what happened. And you know, he said, you know, he kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit when he said, well, what was that facility going to be used for? You know, and he kind of choked up about it, you know. So I think it had multiple purposes. I think it was partially going to be used for some kind of scanning the skies or whatever, and it's also had an alternative purpose as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, these are exciting times, really. I mean, for me, my feeling is, you know, and certainly the guidance has been, you know, over the last year, you know, as we are, you know, getting closer to 2012, and again, it's not as if we are putting our you know, attention on that date, because it's happening now, but the issue is that it's like a dial that's being turned up and increasing the volume. You know, the higher the volume goes, the more amplified the polarity gets in our experience down here, and we're going to start to see more of these phenomena in the skies, I think, and seeing things that we have not previously remembered anyway, that we've been seeing with our visible eyes. So to me, this is really a milestone of that too as well. We're going to start to be able to see things with our human visible eyes that we have not seen. That is sort of in the antiparticle. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, we've had some really neat experiences here. It's like I've been away from the ranch and was doing a little traveling and did some incredible workshops in Kauai.
Following you guys on Facebook. Yes, how was that?
Oh, it was amazing. We got there and freak storm came out of nowhere, and we talked to pilots about it, and they said they've never seen anything like it. It didn't come in; it just was created there in a huge vortex effect over the island, and they had vertical lightning coming down all the way. It was just amazing. The straight down all the way to the ground, huge bolts of lightning. And one woman's been there 30-something years. She says, I've never, ever seen lightning come down and hit on the ground like this before in the whole time she's been there. So I think it was 32 years or something. I'm not sure exactly how many years she's been there. And everybody was talking about that, this storm, and it was just water. It just dumped and dumped, and all the roads became rivers. And it went through a huge cleansing. And we did, it was right before we did the self-mastery classes there. And, you know, it was quite interesting. We had all the different beings come in and different masters come in. A very powerful class. We actually hooked into some very ancient kahunas. And their names were actually spelled differently in a very ancient spelling. And when I talked to some of the kahunas that are alive right now and they heard that, it totally confirmed a lot of things for them, and these names are all throughout Africa as well, so in the most ancient times, and they said a lot of their ancestors came from Africa, so that tied it all together for them. So it was energetically, it was just a phenomenal event, and a lot of people walked out of there just saying, what happened? You know, what happened to me?
Yeah.
You know,
they were altered forever.
It was an amazing event. But, you know, there's so many things going on, especially with these energies that are coming in. And I know you're starting to touch on that. Can you talk a little bit about some of the energies coming in and their effects and how maybe people can deal with some of these energies?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, in this cycle, because we just went through another creational cycle. And what these do from my standpoint is every time we move into another band in the harmonic levels of the dimension, which is what we're doing, it's like think about our spiritual ascension and our evolution as moving through the octaves, you know, of the music of the spheres. We keep going up to the next tone. We keep going up to the next harmonic. And so as we're climbing up this Jacob's ladder and we're going up these rungs, you know, we're going up the rungs of the ladder, and with every turn of the dial, it gets more intense for the physical body. So especially if we have not learned how to direct our mental and emotional focus into being able to achieve a certain level of inner peace and connection with our higher source, this time right now is going to be somewhat torturous for those that remain in their ego consciousness, because these energies are really coming in and working with transmuting the lower octave of the mental body, which is unfortunately or fortunately where most of humanity is existing at this particular point. So if we understand that the mental body at the egoic level is a part of the solar plexus consciousness, so if we use our chakras as a model, that's the most easiest way to kind of connect into that, is that most of us, when we think we're having thoughts or we're projecting from our mind, you know, we tend to think of it as a part of our brain function. But in actuality, the brain is only a receiver of impulses that's actually perceiving those impulses as they're coming from a position of your aura, like where you have stationed your identity and focus of consciousness. So most of us, when we were born onto this planet into a third dimensional system, you know, we've been conditioned since birth, basically, and certainly the current structures of our planet, you know, economically and governmentally and educationally, are all focusing on third dimensional, egoic, otherwise known as the third chakra focus of intelligence, which is actually a lower octave of our mental body. So from this period and on, it's really important to have tools and to discipline yourself so that your personality program or your ego consciousness is not thinking it's the one in control. Learning how to temper that consciousness by being in focused presence, that means learning how to bring witness and observer consciousness into the now moment, maintaining the discipline of bringing that presence into the now moment. So what that means, no ruminations of the past and no ruminations into the future. You've got to maintain your presence in the now. As you do that, you will start to discipline your mental body, your consciousness, to stay in that present moment tense, which will again help you to stay in the flow with your life. Because the more that we are in the mental body and we're ruminating about what we're supposed to be doing or not doing or where we need to be or what we're supposed to be manifesting or what happened to me last Tuesday, what this is doing is it's breaking your energetic focus. It's like splitting your power and putting it into certain fragmented states where the whole of your being is not fully present, because only the magic and the connection to consciousness and where it all happens is in the now. So bringing ourselves into the now moment and having tools to keep us, again, bringing us from chaos into peace, even no matter what externally is happening to you, being able to find the inner sanctum within you, knowing that that is your security, that is your connection, that is really where it's all at. So I'm really a proponent at this time for non-negotiable spirituality. It is like, it is time now. We've got basically, the Guardians basically brought it into an incredible firmness. I've never heard them be so incredibly firm by saying, look, you've got 2 years to get out of the mental body, period. Because if we're going to stay in the mental body, which means we're going to be focused on that ego intelligence, the mental body at the lower octave system is starting to compress so that a compaction is occurring and it's starting to deteriorate. So they're basically saying, get out of the third dimensional octave of intelligence, start working onto the soul intelligence. The mental body, once you move into layers of your divinity and your soul consciousness, the functions of it will naturally and organically move your mental body into a higher octave. And this is when you start to experience a thinking sort of synthesis with feeling. You move into a thought process and into a knowing process. And this is something that's hard to describe because it is an experience. You can't really intellectually conceive of this until you actually experience it. But it's similar to that phenomena of, I don't know how I know, I just know. You know what I mean? If somebody asks you, well, how do you know that? You just say, I don't know. Yeah. I could just feel it. I feel it in myself. That is a function of your soul consciousness. And that means that you are more successfully learning how to operate with that level of intelligence and with that level of consciousness. And this is extremely important right now to move into that level of being.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've told people a lot about that we get into this monkey mind and we just keep mind screwing ourselves over and over again. And a friend of my son who teaches the Kundalini classes here, I love what he said. He said, you know, your mind basically, you know, your body is the soldier and the general is the mind and the heart is the emperor, you know. But
I like that, yes.
Yeah, we're listening to the soldier or the general and we're totally ignoring the emperor, you know. And seems like, I always tell it, drop back into your heart, you know. What do you feel you need to do? What do you feel is going on? You know, quit going in circles with your mind and letting running all these scenarios and these events, you know, over and over in your mind. You know, just get back into the heart and everything's fine. And it seems all the stuff falls away. When I had my own near-death experience after that, when I was with the Tibetan Foundation, you know, I was going through the kind of the mundane stuff, relationship breakup, person not being honest with me and you know, all these things happening, financial problems and everything. And I just sat down and tapped in one day. I go, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this. And next thing you know, I was pulled right out of my body and I was out in space looking back at the earth, getting smaller and smaller and smaller until it was a pinhole, you know, just a little pinhead. And I was looking down, wow, you know, and I was so expanded, feeling so incredible. And then Kazika, one of the beings I work with, he said, this is who you are, and those are your problems, you know.
That's a perspective. Wow.
Yeah, and when I came back, everything just was gone. I mean, I was so blissed out, and everything just fell away. And I think the whole earth is going to end up going through that same process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going through its own near-death experience, you might say, or shakabuku, as a friend of mine says, as Katie says, which is hard spiritual kick to the head, you know, to get
The dark night. It's a dark night of the soul. It's going into the dark to meet God, you know? Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, admittedly, that's probably, you know, having a community and having to observe as a practitioner many different beings going through their awakening process. I admit it's very hard to hold neutrality in that because it's never fun watching people go through the suffering part of that. And yet, in some cases, it's entirely necessary because it's how the alchemy of the spirit is able to create and carve the space within the body to embody the spirit. Because one thing I don't think it's very hard for us to understand is we are coming into the embodiment of divinity. Okay, so that means we've got to create the space for it, right? Mm-hmm. The body has to be prepared to actually be completely congruent with an embodied soul consciousness. So when we think about our divinity, you know, we were kind of like trying to intellectualize it as something outside of us. You know, it's coming in. Our divinity is descending, and actually the process of ascension is actually descension. It's a descension of our spirit into physical matter. We are becoming, you know, God made manifest, you know, divinity, soul actualized beings in these bodies. So that process is definitely, you know, molecular, shifting the atomic levels of our being. I mean, it's quite amazing what's going on, the transmutation process of actually understanding what our bodies are going through during this time is quite mind-boggling.
Yeah, there's a few times when I felt like I was dying, physically dying, going through this process.
Yes.
And as soon as I turn and go, you know what, it's not so bad over there on the other side. I've already been there. I said, so what? If I wake up dead, who cares, you know? And I woke up and I was fine in the morning. As soon as I surrendered to the process and stopped resisting it and fighting it.
It's true.
And just let go and let spirit take over, you know, everything turned out fine.
That's so true, and that's a very important message because there doesn't seem to be that much information available talking about ascension symptoms at that severe level. I think a lot of people, when their bodies start acting differently, they get kind of scared or freaked out. They don't know what to do about it. And, you know, that's definitely one thing I try to provide a lot of information on. And, in many cases, it is just that. It's learning to breathe through the process and have a context. I think a lot of the times, just when people understand that this is part of it, they kind of relax, you know.
Yeah.
Because, again, some of the symptoms are very weird, I admit. I mean, they're strange.
Yeah. Well, I know one thing that now this goes just back to base science is that, you know, we are going through incredible fluctuations in the fields on Earth, and we are moving into a new highly energized place, you know, in space, according to the Russian scientists. And so any way you look at it, you know, and then moving through galactic plane, you know, which is going to really wreak havoc on the magnetic fields. So, you know, Stanford research did studies with monkeys and they subjected them to magnetic field fluctuations, and they exhibited behavior everything from self-mutilation to comatose, and you know, all over the spectrum. But I always say we don't have to behave like monkeys, and if we get out of this lower mind, you might say, the ego or that mental body, and get up into the soul and the higher mind, it's not going to affect us, and we can move.
That's exactly
beyond
it.
That.
That's exactly it. I mean, the guardians are basically saying for those of us that have done our, because I have to say, I mean, in all honesty, this is spiritual homework. Both you and I found it amazing, James, because both you and I were teaching classes on energetic self-mastery, and I didn't even know that you were doing that. You know what I'm saying? We both called it the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But that's really what it is it takes a declaration of your intention to serve your soul or God purpose every day. It takes discipline in the beginning. After you get through the discipline piece, when you get the ego in control, because again, in the beginning, you're flip-flopping around. You know, it's the internal Armageddon and the conflict between the heart and the mind. That goes away and it becomes so much easier. But I know in the beginning it's challenging for a lot of people to stay with it because it does take discipline to really reprogram the consciousness and as well the nerve synapses and the motor neurons and the axons and dendrites, everything that's been programmed in the old energy. you know, because we're learning a completely new language, you know, and this new language really is the higher sensory feeling function of the emotional body, of the heart intelligence. It's understanding the heart isn't just about, you know, because when we think of the heart, sometimes I think we can misinterpret it as, you know, oh, those feelings, you know. The heart is where it's at. It is the access to the creative intelligence field of the universe. So do you want to be limited to the mental constructs of a finite space where you can access archetypes and, you know, preconceived ideas, or do you actually want to have access into the universal creational fields? I mean, they're really, you know, what language do you want to be speaking? I mean, you know, so it's interesting. It really is. It's through the higher sensory feeling, is through the heart, is through the emotional intelligence.
Yeah, I have, you know, we run into all kinds of people here at the ranch and at the self-mastery classes and the conferences. And, you know, I love science, cutting-edge science, don't get me wrong, but I keep seeing over and over again, you know, the intellect is just a drop in the sea of consciousness, but a lot of these PhDs have so much invested in their intellect and the recycled ignorance that they've been taught, and they've written books, and they just can't let go of that and get into the higher mind or the more unlimited consciousness, and they think that drop is the all in the all, and they have their piece of paper on their wall to back them up, you know, that this is law, and they, you know, it's just amazing. And you know, even in the UFO field, I see these people, they say, well, I have a PhD, you know, and I said, oh, in ufology. And they said, well, no, it's in this and this and that. And I said, well, I didn't know they taught ufology in college, you know. As a matter of fact, they teach you they don't exist. So how is it you are an expert? You know, have you seen a ship? Have you been on a ship? Do you know the occupants?
Right.
I said, have you seen anything outside of whatever you can stick into your test tube, you know? And then I asked, you know, but I asked him. I said, hey, guess here's a news flash. You know, there's 11 dimensions out there that you can experience, and more dimensions out there. And you know, it's just so ridiculous because you know, even all the main physicists now are saying that we can experience less than 1% of the universe in which we live. But and then they want physical proof of a non-physical event, knowing that it goes against their own program. And it's just, it's unbelievable what you have to go up against, these mindsets, and they're so rigid and stuck in these programs. But, you know, there are some people like, you know, Bruce Lipton and some of these other people that are now vindicating what we've been teaching for years and years and years, you know, that with, you know, there's only 30,000 genes in the body, and it takes at least 100, you know, to run the physical body. So who's running the body? Some outside field of intelligence is actually running the body, which totally vindicates what we're talking about. And I think that outside intelligence is affected by all these other fields of energy and the planets and the major cycles and everything else. It's all tied together, and it all has an effect.
Yes, absolutely. I so agree. I mean, one thing too, with all of this, at least, you know, well, you've been in this field for a long time, James. I mean, would you agree that we're really hitting unprecedented territory with what's happening, whether it's the Norway spiral or just kind of the interest in the amount of people that are coming into the, because a lot of this, you know, again, a lot of us have been doing this for a long time, you know, kind of behind the scenes or a little more anonymous. And I'm really feeling a big opening for those of us that I call are a part of the galactic community, which means there are some of us on this planet with a very specific role, and that role is to usher in the next level of galactic consciousness, which a key component of that is understanding that there's way more than just human beings, humanoids in 3D existing within our universe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's magnifying exponentially. It's just jumping. We're going through such a quantum leap in evolution and in consciousness right now. And the people that have been suppressing this for so long are just getting hammered energetically, and their grid and their program is just being torn apart, and a new grid is taking its place. So to me, it's like, I don't know exactly how this is going to unfold. I don't know what choices people are going to make, But, you know, I know resistance is futile, and we are going to the next frequency, and we are going to take
Hallelujah.
This leap in consciousness and energy, and we can do it gracefully, or we can do it with a lot of pain and suffering. Depends on, on which process we want to take.
Exactly. That's one thing I always sort of emphasize as well. You're either going to participate with this, and or you're not, but you're still going to be participating from a resistance point. I mean, there really is, it makes your life so much easier if you understand the task at hand is to work in cooperation and harmony with these forces of transformation. If you understand to do that, which is basically surrender, then you'll have a really pleasant experience through this.
Oh, I
but
agree
100%. If you're extremely rigid and you've got, you know, because there is, you know, what has been an amazing observation at times is that in many human beings, sometimes the desire to be right rather than understand the truth is actually overrides the ability to process any new information. And that's always baffling to me. When you
know,
see that, but
that's an awesome
common.
Subject because we've been running into that redundantly here, and we've had, you know, people come to the ranch, and that is what they're up against, their need to be right and their need to have an enemy and project and blame everything outside of themselves just completely overrides the obvious, which is just thrown in their face again and again and again.
Yeah,
you know, but they just don't get it. And and I know right now is that my, you might say, patience factor has you know, I still love these people. I bless them on their way, but I seem to be, my tolerance level for the nonsense and everything else, there's too many people that want to go forward, that want to wake up, that want to, you know, take this quantum leap. And those are the people I want to work with. And the people that want to keep continuing in that old program, that old game, you know, I'm just setting some firm boundaries now, just saying, look, you know, I've been here for you for over 30 years. I've been teaching you this, giving you this information. Now you've got to walk it. You know, I'm not going to, you know, babysit you through this whole process, you know, again. And that's just what I'm seeing as a collective level. I think all of us are understanding, you know, really what compassion is and what tough love is and how it can be used against us, you know, if we don't set those boundaries and take care of ourselves.
I totally agree. I've noticed that too as well, where there has been a set of factors that have changed my interaction in certain ways, you know, being, let's say, a steward of community or dealing with group consciousness, because both you and I are familiar to that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We are holding a space for our group. And so that means you have that's a whole different thing than one-on-one. You know, when you're dealing with a group field, you're dealing with a group entity, and that's a completely different energetic dynamic. And I've noticed that as well. There's been, you know, it's like I call it triage training, you know, and unfortunately sometimes there are casualties, and it's not fun at all. It's extremely important that we're able to hold the integrity of the truth within us from a place of compassion and, of course, harmlessness. But there can be no more martyrdom or vampirism or giving your blood or having somebody need something from you. This can't work anymore. It's got to be a mutual exchange that can grow the energy field. It can't be out of dysfunction or codependence or desperation. So I've noticed that too as well. It's like having to tell people, you're either going to get on the train or you're going to get out of the way. There is no other choice right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's no more fence sitting. You're either going to get with the program or you're going to step aside. I mean, you know, because right now, that's it. The responsibility to accountability to hold the integrity of the frequency and the intelligence of what that represents, because God is a technology and we are becoming the technology of that consciousness, and it's our responsibility, those of us that understand this and have been preparing our containers, our bodies and vessels to be that, to allow our bodies to be the purest vessel of that clear light channel of God consciousness as we can, because we really are at a crossroads right now of vibrational choice. And the more of us that can really hold that without having to explain it away or defend it or excuse it or whatever, it just is. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us that have been in the front lines in the galactic community, we've spent so much of our time excusing ourselves. You know what I mean? Having to get the credibility. Okay, here's the picture. I've got the picture. I've got the physical proof. Look at it. Okay, now what do you have to say about that? Oh, well, it's a smear on the lens.
Oh,
it's a Russian missile. You know, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know,
it is kind of humorous.
Yeah. The UFO community, I know a lot of people. Oh, and by the way, we are still open. We are snowed in right now, but we will be opening right back up in spring, like always. And we aren't closed down.
Are you really?
The rumors out there. What's that?
You're snowed in over there?
Yeah. We've been just dumped on right here.
Oh, my gosh.
It's starting to melt off, you know, but it's just too hard.
Wow.
And it's too cold. We had -4 temperatures up here. You know,
God. You're going to have a white Christmas then, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, there's a lot of rumors going around that we closed, and people doing YouTube things saying, how dare you close? It's not your ranch. It's the ET ranch and all this other stuff.
Oh, dear God.
You know, on and on, going on for hours and hours about how unfair it is. And you know, they didn't really have to make that video if they would have just called us up to realize we aren't closing down the ranch. But it all stemmed from me writing a letter saying I'm done with, you know, a lot of the UFO community. I'm not going to try to work through your venues anymore because you've just become so convoluted and corrupt. There's no space for higher consciousness and energy to come through anymore and a positive message. So basically that's where that stemmed from. But we are going to continue to serve and, you know, bring through awesome speakers like you and others, you know.
Well, thank you.
To the conferences, and you know, we're going to keep this radio show going as well as some other radio shows to come. So we have a lot of irons in the fire, and it is going to keep going. Getting
fabulous.
Back on track here, you know, the Palladians in my meditations, you know, they're talking like biblical right now, which is quite interesting about the days to come, and they're saying that tyranny is coming to a close. And they talk about God is coming. It's a frequency. It's a force. It's accelerating all the karma. It's accelerating the action-reaction process. It's very interesting to hear what they talk about. And they talk about that, you know, focus on love and healing, period. You know, release the past.
Yeah.
And the same message they give us again and again, release the past. You know, let it go. Let go of the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences. And you know, transcend all the cultural and religious boundaries and get beyond that into pure unconditional love. And it's funny when you talk to these beings, they sound just like, you know, many of the great masters that walk the planet, you know, to all the cultures you know, and now the physicists are figuring it out. You know, they're actually measuring these waves and these cycles and, you know, the energy fluctuations. So it's on. I don't think there's any way of denying it, you know, but people still do, you know.
Yeah, so and I suppose they will to, you know, whatever point in time, you know, where they can't any longer deny it. I don't know, but... I agree with you. What's very interesting as well is I'm also getting this sort of biblical references, from the guardians. You know, I'm not, I have not had any religious training, let's say, in this lifetime, right? So, you know, when they're saying a term like Gog and Magog, I'm like, what is that? You know, what are you guys talking about? What's Gog and Magog? And they've been talking about that for like the last 30 days now. You know, about the lineages of Gog and Magog and the prophecies that have to do with these Armageddon timelines and how these are like, in their context, they're like programs like a video game. It's like as if we were going into the archive of our hologram, if we actually could compare this to a video game and we're looking on the shelf, you know, we could see the game Armageddon, right? And the issue is right now, do we want to play that game? Do we want to play the game of pestilence? Do we want to play the game of cataclysm? Do we want to, you know, continue with the Gog Magog lineage? And so it's been interesting seeing their perspective with that because they're using those biblical revelation terms, which are actually unfamiliar to me as Lisa.
Yeah.
Because
you know,
I don't have that training. I'm like, what are you talking about? What is this? You know?
Yeah. I've done a lot of research into all the different prophecies. And, you know, a lot of the Native American prophecies seem to be unfolding, and they correspond with the Star Nations. And they have been talking about, you know, the beast and the fall of the beast and how it consumes itself eventually. They also talk about two worlds, which I find really interesting. And I never really had the physics background to understand it. Now I do, but how there could be actually two different worlds or two different timelines and a downward spiral in evolution where one group chooses that path into technology and overpowering others and service to self and all that nonsense, they end up actually taking the downward spiral and collapsing and ending. And the other world takes the upward spiral of evolution into brother, sister, love and individual freedom and prosperity for all. And they take this align with nature and take the upward spiral. And
yeah,
I do see that happening, and the possibility of two worlds actually existing side by side, where one group goes one way and one group goes the other way. And we're seeing that in our self-mastery classes and in the Kundalini classes. We're actually having people, and myself too, it happens to me quite, actually disappear and move from one world to the other world and then back again, and they're going back and forth. And I think with some people, if they really do their homework and keep working in this direction, because this is where the whole planet is going, mm-hmm. we will end up just stepping out of one world into another, and it is the possibility, or to me, an extreme probability, that that's kind of where we're going to go.
That seems to be very relevant to my experience as well, and especially amplified in the last couple weeks as a reminder, where I'm also seeing, you know, for a while they had talked about reality bubbles and descending matrices and ascending matrices. And what they meant by that is that they were going to be in this transitory phase we're in. There was going to be parts of the planet, like say you're in a certain, you know, area of the planet, you know, and that it would have a lower vibration, and the beings that were really promoting or still existing in negativity would be attracted there, and it would be much more unstable in those little pockets. And then the ascending pockets would also be around, which would be completely vibrationally different, where it would be much more peaceful, much more, you know, easy vibrationally, much more economically stable. So they were literally describing like hubs, you know, like there would be safe zones and hubs where higher frequency would be contained in a reality bubble within that certain demographic of the planet. And then there were other parts that were descending and would become very hellish, like pockets mm-hmm. of low astral, just, you know, a place you don't want to be. And I've already had that experience at times. I don't know if you have, you know, where you walk in to a descending hub or a descending matrix and you go, oh my God. And you know what you'll notice there too is the people that are existing in those spaces, they're like automatons. They have basically no critical thinking or problem-solving ability. If you interact with a lot of people, it's like they're on autopilot or something. They're basically functioning at yes, no, and that's about it. It's mm-hmm. very surreal. You know, when you see a human being with no light in their eyes, admittedly, it's very eerie.
Yeah, and you say something to them that, you know, should be of shock value or something, and they just get this blank stare over their eyes like a deer in the headlights, and they just dismiss it and move on to something else, and you go, whoa, you know, what is going on here?
What's going on? Yes, I know. It's kind of disturbing. I just had I call them case studies, you know. It was like I had an experience of this recently, and it was very surreal. You know, I was like, just my jaw was just kind of, you know, dropped going, wow, okay, get used to this, you know, because it's really interesting too. Like I don't, you know, I noticed that if I, you know, cause I'm not in those environments often at all. I think it was for learning purposes, cause that's usually what happens. I get a reality check, you know, because I get to speak this and live this multidimensional bubble all the time.
Yeah.
So sometimes I forget what the masses are doing.
I know,
when you go into the third dimensional land and then you deal with and interact at that level and you go, oh my God, that's the reality check.
Yeah, you go, people really do think like this. I thought that went out in the dark ages. You know, it's quite a shock.
Yes.
You know,
unfortunately, we're running out of time. Okay.
You know, Lisa, we're about out of time here. I want to get you back on the show again. We have so much more to cover, but we're running out of time. But I want you to give any contact information and your website to people before we sign off.
Sure, absolutely. Well, certainly I have a ton of content and information about the Ascension. That is at energeticsynthesis.com. And I'm also stewarding and supporting an internet community, which basically has all of the archives and meditation tools. When we were talking about clearing mental body or removing fear programs, that's really a part of my service work, is supplying some tools within that level. So if that is feeling resonant for you, you might want to check out the community on energetic synthesis.
Great. Awesome. Now, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I wish I had a 2-hour show because I know we could go on for probably 10 hours. But unfortunately, I only have an hour show. And
it was great, James. Thank you.
All right. We'll stay in touch. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Many blessings, and thank you for all you do. I really appreciate it.
All right. You too. Well, this is James Gillen signing off for As You Wish Talk Radio. And here at the East Eddy Ranch. So keep watching the skies, follow your hearts, and just be kind to each other for a little while. See what happens. Have a great evening. Good night.